Performance, USA, the greatest entertainers in America, as requested by you, the men and women in the United States Armed Forces throughout the world. Command Performance, presented this week and every week, till you're home from the hospitals and back from over there. Hi, gang. This is Howard Petrie, lugging another Command Performance your way. Yes, sir, 30 minutes overflowing with top talent and tunes. All loaded to fit those letters of yours, mailed care of Armed Forces Radio, Hollywood, USA. Well, dipping into the grab bag, the first thing we come up with is a very neat musical package, done up in a very shapely wrapping. That Blue Ribbon songstress from Columbia Pictures, lovely Joan Barton.
Well, Joni, I just noticed your dress.
You like my dress, Howard?
Oh, I sure do. Why don't you put it on?
And gee, Howard, I guess you don't really like it.
Oh, of course I do, Joni. It's the latest thing, isn't it, Joan?
Why, it sure is. It's a new long length, too. You see, I added 12 inches to the bottom.
And I love the way you subtracted that 12 inches from the top.
So all in all, Howard, you just don't like these new length dresses, huh?
Oh, what do you mean, Joni? Well, last night I was out with a gorgeous blonde, one of those Amazons. She was over 7 feet tall.
Well, so what, Howard? What does that prove? So,
honey, it proves I go for these new length skirts.
Oh, well, we'd better get on to answering the mail, Howard.
All right, you are, Joan. And we're going to make a lot of listeners happy by bringing in a fellow who gets more mail on command than anybody else.
Attention, BFC Bob Davis and your pals Bob Cook, Don Moffat, Jim Laporte, Bob Klein, and the other men of the Communications Center in Seoul, Steve Cochis in Tokyo, and D.M. Muir of the British Army, and all you others, here's Hoagy Carmichael!
Now, most of the fellas have asked for a song that goes something like this. Someone's in the meadow down in Lover's Lane, making lots of racket, raising lots of kin. Casanova Cricket, that's the name you raise. Raising lots of racket, staying out so late. Casanova Cricket, now it just ain't right. Sleeping all day and a-kissing all night. Casanova Cricket, what'll some folks say? Can't you do your courting by the light of day? You needn't act so mighty righteous with that innocent mug, 'cause you're a kissing bug. Cricket wife, for goodness sake, don't you know you're keeping decent folk awake? Casanova Cricket, now it just ain't right. Sleeping all day and a kissing all night. Casanova Cricket, there you go again. Now you got yourself a ladybug, as sure as sin. Go find another place to kiss, another place to hug, 'cause you're a kissing bug, a rickety, rackety, crickety, crackety kissing bug.
Thanks, fellas. Thanks very much. I aimed that one particularly at a German boy named Karl Heinrich, and I hope he remembered the duck.
Yeah, Hoagy, your voice is hard to classify. What would you call yourself, a baritone?
Well, I would, but...
But what?
But nobody can bear him a tone.
Well, tell you, Hoagy...
They're not supposed to laugh.
Oh, yes, they are. Yes, they'll come out. Say, well, Hoagy, Private Joel D. Poe must like your voice. He wrote us a nice letter praising it. And then he said, the guys here say I sound a little like Frankie. So he asked you to tell him how to succeed as a singer.
Can you tell him, Hoagie?
Well, there's really no set answer to that question. Success in the singing game is a combination of talent, hard work, and waiting for the right break to come along.
Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm. Now, Hoagie, how did Bing Crosby get his big break?
I don't know.
Well, how about Frank Sinatra?
I don't know.
Harry Como?
I don't know.
Well, Hoagie, I guess Private Joe is wasting his time asking you questions.
Oh, no, let the kid answer the question. How else is he going to learn? I don't know.
Hoagie, and now we'll give you a rest and introduce a fine actor to the gang. This fella plays the detective Sam Spade on the air, and he's doing right well in some right swell movies. And here he is, Howard Duff.
Hi, gang.
I always used to enjoy Command when I was a listener to it out on Saipan, and it's a real thrill to be invited to be on it right now.
Well, Howard, you're going to earn that engraved invitation tonight. Got a lot of work lined out for you.
Oh, that's right, Howard. Seaman First Alvin Tierno just saw that great picture of yours, Brute Force. And now he wants to hear the command performance version of Sing.
Well, what are we waiting for, Joan? Let's dig right in.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, presenting our version of that grim saga of vicious prison life, Fruit Borscht. Brute Force. Our version is entitled The Prisoner Got the Hot Seat, or What's Cooking?
The scene, gloomy and dismal state prison. A dank, foreboding dungeon peopled by hate and despair. And in cell number 13 sits Killer McDuff, waiting for the terrible-tempered prison guard, Pinhead Petrie.
Come on out, McDuff. We gotta get you ready for the electric chair.
Just a second.
Oh, come on, come on, come on!
What's the hurry? Haven't you paid your light bill? God, I'll have you know I got connections. I can make trouble for you. If you take me to the chair, I'll holler loud and long. What's so funny?
You may holler loud, but you won't holler long.
This is awful. Petrie, I'd rather be executed on any day but a Monday.
What's wrong with Monday?
It's a lousy way to start the week.
All right, any more back talk like that, and I'll take you to see the captain of the guard.
Oh, no. No, not that bloodthirsty monster. No, don't take me to him. You can't. You can't.
Duff's mind is aflame with hate and anguish. His mind travels in circles. What got him into this horrible mess? He thinks back to that balmy night in May when he strolled, all unknowingly, into that tough little nightclub. That famous singer with a soulful look, Big Eyes Barton, was approaching the spotlight.
Hi, Jim. I'd like to do I'm Sorry from a picture that I just made at Columbia. It's called Mary Lou. I'm sorry. I didn't say I'm sorry when I made you cry. I want your eyes.
the girl sang, Duff watched her, fascinated. Her hair was like spun gold. Her complexion was ravishing. Her figure, divine. And her gown clung in all the right places. Yet, despite all this, there was something attractive about her. He approached the girl and spoke.
Come here, baby.
What can I do for you, big boy?
You can kiss me, baby. Come here.
Okay. Well, big boy, did I kiss you too hard?
Well, for a minute I thought my head was caught in a Hoover vacuum cleaner. Let's try it again, huh?
Hey, bud, lay up. What you doing with me, girl?
Well, I...
Ah, you dirty, low-down, no-good son of a...
Just a minute, pal. Would you care to step outside and say that?
Yeah, I would.
Well, go right ahead, but say it loud, because I'll be in here kissing your girl.
Why, you...
landed in the penitentiary. Convicted of poisoning old Widow Jones. Now, as he looks about him, his mind revolts.
I'm fed up, you hear? You gotta let me out of here, you hear? Let me talk to the head guard.
No, no, you don't want to talk to him. Why, the captain of the guards is the most ferocious, bloodthirsty man alive.
Yeah, yeah, he's cruel, evil-tempered, wicked.
Gad, who is this bloodthirsty fiend?
Well, to his mother, he was known as Cuddles, but to us, he's known as Victor Mad Dog Moore.
Oh, no!
Why, Mad Dog, what's wrong?
Oh, another prisoner just insulted me. He said that I'm lazy and no good, and he even said I wear ever sharp pants.
Ever sharp pants? Well, why does he call them ever sharp pants?
He says they contain a 6-month supply of lead. Oh!
Now, don't you cry, Mad Dog. Don't cry.
And, Petrie, I want you to throw that awful two-gun Gil Hooley out of my nice, clean jail.
Why, Mad Dog, what's wrong with two-gun Gil Hooley?
He's too untidy. That man doesn't even wash his socks anymore. He just puts scent in the toes. Peter, you've got to do something about Killer Frey.
Has he been breaking the rules?
Yeah, I found him making fudge after 10 o'clock.
Why the nerve of that guy? This calls for strict discipline.
Yeah, I'll say, from now on, any time that man is found making fudge in his cell...
Yes?
Take away his mixmaster. Now, Peter, call the convicts together. I got to lay down the law.
Okay, Captain, I'll summon the men.
Goodness gracious, what's that?
That's the signal calling the men to attention for your speech.
Oh, thank heavens. I was afraid somebody was trying to bust into my jail.
Well, they're all here. Now, go ahead, talk to them. Treat them rough, as usual. Go ahead.
I will. Gentlemen? Fellas?
Go on.
Ooh, you guys. Gentlemen? Oh, fellas, please listen.
Don't interrupt us. We're just starting a gin rummy game.
Yeah, now who's got the gin?
Yeah.
Gentlemen, shut up!
Okay, Captain, speak. Go ahead.
What should I do?
Speak, speak, speak!
Okay. Whoop, whoop. My dog taught me to do that.
Captain, bawl the prisoners out. Get tough. Come on.
I will. Men, I got some complaints to take up with you.
What is it?
Well, men, I don't like the things I've been finding in the suggestion box.
Well,
Now, take this letter. It's not constructive.
Well, gad, Mad Dog, what does it say?
It says, "Dear Captain, drop dead." I see I've been too nice to you guys. I'm taking away all your privileges. Now, you hooligotty?
Yes, sir?
One of your wives will have to go. Fagin?
Yeah?
You can't shoot spitballs at the guards anymore. Unless they're approved by good housekeeping. And Hooper Dykester?
Yes, sir?
You've been awful mean. From now on, you can only run your print shop 8 hours a day.
Oh, no, Mad Dog. Don't
Dad, you gotta stop putting my picture on those $5 bills.
Mad Dog, this prisoner wants to speak to you.
Oh, Mr. Duff.
Mad Dog, you gotta let me out of here. I gotta get out. You can't keep me in this prison, this cage.
Oh, now, son, remember, stone walls do not a prison make, nor iron bars a cage.
Oh, no? Then what's holding me in here?
Scotch tape.
Oh, Mad Dog, that's silly.
Well, then sit down in that electrified chair and we'll cook up a deal.
No, Mad Dog, I don't like it here. It ain't homey, and that guard you got watching me is too tough.
Petrie?
Mm-hmm.
Petrie isn't tough.
Oh, no. Then what's he doing now?
He's making toast. Petrie holds a piece of bread in his teeth, and then he sits in the electric chair. A little brown down the edges.
What, the toast?
No, Petrie. Pardon me, I'll have to take him outside and scrape him.
Aha, he's gone. Hey, you guys, all you lugs from my cell, cell 13, come in.
Guess
what I got here under my mattress. Right here under my mattress, I got a pistol, see? And a couple of Tommy guns, too, see?
Yeah.
And 18 belts of ammunition, see? And I got a case of dynamite under my mattress. Anybody got any questions?
I got one, Doc.
Yeah, what's that?
How can you sleep on such a lumpy mattress?
Shut up. Now, we're going to bust out of this can tonight, see? You guys with me?
Oh, yeah.
Here we are.
Sure.
Can you keep this a secret, Fatso?
Sure, Duff.
Can you, Deadeye?
Sure, Duff, sure.
How about you, Mike?
Of course, Duff.
What about you, Porky? That's what I do to a squealer. Hey, Jesus, here comes Mad Dog Moore.
Hey, quick, hide that pistol.
Yeah, this is it.
What on earth is going on here? What are you men whispering about?
We're planning our escape, see?
Well, would you plan it a little more quietly? The other prisoners can't sleep.
Okay.
Goodness, what is all this junk you've got lying around on the floor? Dynamite and fuses. For the life of me, I can't see how you can find your way around this place in the dark.
Mad Dog, that's not real dynamite. It's only an imitation.
It is, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you other fellas cart that stuff out and toss it over the wall.
Okay, Mad Dog, we'll toss it.
They make some very good imitations these days.
Yeah. Now, Mad Dog, what was on your mind?
Oh, nothing. Howard, how do you like my jail? I'm sure this fellow has a pistol hidden in his cell.
Well, I think your jail's just peachy. I bet he suspects I have a pistol hidden here.
Well, I'm very glad you like it. I'd give $1 million to know where he hid that pistol.
Well, I do. I really do.
I bet he'd give $1 million to know where I hid that pistol.
Well, I'm glad, Howard. I wonder where he hid that pistol.
I'm glad you're glad.
You'll never guess I hid that pistol under my mattress.
Where?
Under my mattress.
Look at this horrible pistol. Howard Duff, you were going to squirt water on me.
That's right. That's right, Mad Dog. I was just waiting to get the drop on you.
This is the last straw. I'm going to carry out my secret plan. This is D-Day for me.
What do you mean, Mad Dog?
Ha-ha, Duff. You know that tunnel you've been digging under the jail?
Yeah, sure. That sewer. What about it?
That's no sewer. That's what I told you it was. I planned that tunnel so it comes up just outside the prison wall. And tonight, I'm going to escape.
Mighty fine dramatics, fellas. And now, Hoagie the Carmichael, what about that last number you cooked up for us?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a little deal I could sort of dedicate to Ralph and Ken in Berlin, Cecil John Duvall in Munich, and all you wonderful guys we just don't have time to name. Are we ready, kids?
I got a gal who's mighty sweet, big blue eyes and tiny feet. Her name is Rosabel McGee, and she tips the scales at 303 OG. But ain't it grand to have a gal so big and fat that when you go to hug her, you don't know where you're at. You have to take a piece of chalk in your hand and hug away some chalk mark to see where you began. One day I was a hugging and a chalking and a hugging and a chalking away, when I met another fella with some chalk in his hand, a coming around the other way over the mountain, coming around the other way. Said I'm weak, my bones don't ache and my joints don't creak, but I grow absolutely limp every time I see my baby blimp. Oh gee, but ain't it grand to have a gal so big and fat that when you go to hug her,
you don't know where you're at. You have to take a piece of chalk in your hand and hug a bit and chalk a mark to see where you began.
One day I was a-huckin' and a-chalkin' and a-beggin' her to feed my pride, when I met another fella with some chalk in his hand, a-comin' around the other side, over the mountain, a-comin' around the other side. She's a mile wide,
chalking up a mark down in Yellowstone Park,
when I met another fella with some chalk in his hand, coming around the other side,
over the mountain, over the great divide.
Wonderful as usual, Hoagie, and the rhythm marriage are great. Well, Howard, any more business on hand?
Well, we could remind the gang about the super-duper command performance contest.
Well, how could they forget?
Right, Joan, how could they forget? But the time's getting short, so if you want to win one of those smart-looking holocrafter radios, grab a pencil and paper and start writing now. The subject? What the Constitution of the United States means to me. Make it 250 words or less, and remember, your entry has to arrive in Los Angeles on or before November 30th. Sets will be awarded to members of the Army, the Navy, Marine or Coast Guard, Air Forces, and a patient in a veteran's hospital. Get your entry in the mail tonight. Address it to Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA. 250 words or less on the subject, what the Constitution of the United States means to me. Before you mail it, have your entry signed by your troop I&E officer or your educational advisor.
And now let's take inventory of the talents. Tonight we had Howard Petrie, Hoagie the Carmichael, the Rhythm Heirs, and Howard Sam Spade Duff.
Joan Barton and the beloved Victor Moore. Well, Joan, it's time to close up shop.
Wait a minute, fellas. Hold everything. I, I got the secret. Now I know how to make men follow my orders, how I can bend men to my slightest whim.
Oh, wonderful, Victor. How'd you do it?
Well, a fellow sold me this great big book.
Ah, yes, a 600-page volume on how to be master of men. Vic, when a man won't do what you ask him to do, what do you do?
Yeah, do you open this big book and use the advice?
Advice? Heck, I take this book and hit him with it.
Oh, that's enough. Good night, Victor, and so long, everybody.
This program is arranged with the aid of the Hollywood Coordinating Committee. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.